CMO Roundtable,
the podcast where we talk to CMOs and marketing professionals to find out what's working, what isn't, and how you can leverage their expertise to improve your marketing and conversions. Now, let's welcome our host, number one best-selling author and co-founder of Conversion Fanatics, Justin Christensen.
All right, welcome everybody. This is Justin Christensen, your host for CMO Roundtable. And today we have, like no exception, we have another very special guest. Our guest today is actually one of my favorite people. And we first connected after discovering that we both grew up in the Dakotas, myself in North Dakota and him in South Dakota. And we were both rodeo cowboys for years, and him at a professional level, which is something that I did not achieve and kind of a little bit envious of. But and now we're actually both transplanted Texans as well. So Rob Hendrickson is no stranger to the business and marketing game. He started working in advertising back in 1995 and became an agency partner doing work for Sony, Blockbuster, GameStop, and XM Satellite Radio, in which he sold the company back in 2006. He then started a PPC company in 2005, which was first to hire stay-at-home moms across the U.S., and then he sold that company just a few short years later in 2009. As he says, he's a world-class father of two and a half-assed husband that he says jokingly. But today he has his focus on Full Bucket, which is the first animal healthcare company that has a giving program at the core. So we're going to talk some marketing, and we're excited to have him on the show. So, Rob, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm great, and I'm very honored and humbled to be on this show. I know you have some pretty big hitters, and I'm sure that this is an attempt to kind of bring it back down to the common level.
I don't know about that. You're so damn humble, even though you've been hustling at this a hell of a lot longer than I have.
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't know what else to do.
Yeah,
can't ride bucking horses anymore.
Yeah, I can't ride bulls anymore either. So awesome. So, I mean, it's truly a pleasure to have you on the show. You were actually one of the first people that I made put down on my list to have on the show when we started mapping it all out. So it's a pleasure to have you. So in 30 seconds or so, tell us a little bit about Rob Hendrickson and what kind of got you to where you are today.
Well, you and I, like you said, have a very, very similar background. And I'm sure that you can testify to this, that growing up, I was afraid. You know, we grew up in the rural community. I was scared to death of a desk job, and then injury forced me to go get some work, and I ended up working for a magazine doing advertising and absolutely fell in love. I mean, I had no idea that I could make money using my brain. And ever since then, that's really what I've strived for. I've really strived to, you know, business is just such a passion of mine that, you know, when we go sit on the beach, I read business books. So that's really it. It's just the driving passion behind, you know, trying to perfect this craft that we've gotten into.
Yeah, and it definitely takes. I've been doing it 15 years and still yet to perfect it.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. We never will perfect it, but it sure is fun chasing it.
Yeah, it is fun chasing it for sure. So I know you are an extremely busy guy. You're all over the place doing infomercial shooting, and I think you were in San Diego and then Orlando, and then now you're back in Texas. But what does a typical week look like for you, given that if there is something considering a typical week?
The typical week is chaos. It's just managing chaos. You know, mm-hmm. I think that one of the things that makes a difference between an entrepreneur who ends up being successful versus one who doesn't is one who understands that change, chaos, and randomness are all just part of the puzzle. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I try to make some assembly out of the routines that I can carve out each day. Mm-hmm. I try to, you know, make sure that my mornings start very similar and my evenings start fairly similar. That doesn't always work out either. I just have a system where I set some larger goals. Like I look at my week and say, if at the end of this week I only get one or two things accomplished and they move my ball forward or they make me better, what would those be? I make sure I put those down, and then I do my task list. You know, I just kind of start writing out all the crap that I got to do. And you know that by 10 o'clock on Monday morning, all that crap is already changing. So if I make sure I stay focused on those one or two big things that I look back on my week and I go, oh, you know, that worked out, or I really screwed up and I didn't get my two big things done. So that's sort of really the week. As far as like details, you know, I try to carve out, it never happens this way, but I try to segregate my creative stuff from my business operations stuff, and find my time to, because I still, you know, have to do all the operations and spreadsheets and all that stuff, but I hate it. And I love to do the creative work, and, but the operation stuff keeps creeping in on the other. And so, I really have to be, I don't know, adamant about when am I going to sit down and do my writing and my drawing and all that other stuff and my artwork. And so every day it's just putting task lists together and making sure that those things all kind of drive to a overall sum at the end of the week.
Oh, I can relate to that for sure.
Yeah.
So, I mean, in terms of your marketing, I know you've got your hands in more than just Full Bucket. But what keeps you up at night? Is there anything in terms of your business or marketing that keeps you up at night?
You know, yeah. And here's something funny about that question. When I saw that we were going to talk about that, you know, I think that's one of the, if guys like us were going to be totally honest, there's a couple things that keep me up at night. One is just, I worry about the different types of projects I have. They keep coming up into my head, or I worry about I'm not spending enough time with my kids, or I worry about my wife and, you know, making sure that all that's going on. That just always is there. But also, you know, in the back of my mind, and what comes in all the time is failure. You know, I've had my ass handed to me enough times that even when times are good, in the back of my mind, I keep pushing back this thing like, you know, the other shoe could drop any minute.
Yeah.
And I've been on those roller coasters to where you never think you're going to see another poor day. You know, me and Elon Musk are going to be hanging out together on vacations. And then something, you know, either I do something that was a bad choice that had more repercussions than I imagined, or, you know, something unforeseen happens, and next thing you know, you're like, what the hell am I going to do now? So that keeps me up at night. Just worrying about, you know, the failure aspect of this kind of work and how it is pretty high.
Yeah. I mean, that's actually a pretty common theme with all of the people that we've had on the show so far is, you just worry that every day it's going to be taken away, and it doesn't matter how good you have it.
Yeah. And sometimes I wonder, you know, I haven't thought about this till just right now. Maybe a little bit of that is a little bit of why I do this. You know, I mean, that's even though jobs are not a for sure thing anymore, they're a lot more secure than me going out busting my ass trying to make sure business keeps rolling in the front door. And all that, but maybe there's some sort of like, maybe we get off on a lot, some of that, you know, it's the riding bulls for us now.
Yeah. I mean,
it's risky.
It is. And it's what keeps me up at night as well as what gets me out of bed in the morning.
You're right. Yeah. Getting chased by the bull.
Yeah, that's it. So I'm interested in this next question for you, given that you do a lot of traditional media per se. So there's a lot of people that have said that TV and the traditional ways of media are all going to go online soon. What's your take on that?
Wow. So whenever I go in to a client meeting or a new client meeting, and I'm sitting down with their team the first time, or I'm talking to groups at different industries. And when I say that, I don't mean internet marketing conferences. I mean like specific niche industries, you know, in manufacturing or whatever. whenever anyone starts to espouse the death of old media, or I notice that all they want to do is focus on, you know, Facebook, I know that they don't know enough. Mm-hmm. I know that there's an ignorant aspect of that, that as a well-rounded marketer, if you really are going to be successful, you don't care about the vehicle as much as you care about the impact and the outcome. Mm-hmm. So if TV works for, you know, let's say I'm going to do TV for one of my own businesses, and I know that it's going to work, and I know that my audience is there, I'm going to go spend money on TV as long as it's there. So mm-hmm. as far as it like being replaced, absolutely, it's changed it dramatically. And a little bit for the better for us right now, if we take advantage of it, because it's driven prices down on radio, it's driven prices down on magazine, it's driven prices down on TV. And there's more open slots and there's more opportunity. So I take advantage of those aspects. I don't really suffer the future, you know, right now. If TV goes away and it's just completely online or it's completely digital, it'll still exist. I'm still going to have it in my living room and my bedroom. It's just going to be a digital box that's running it. So I'm going to have to just move and shake. So that being said, yeah, I mean, we're also making sure that you're a visionary and constantly reviewing and looking at, you know, the statistics and stats of what is working on the forefront. You know, you got to invest in the future. It's your savings account. So you're constantly, you know, that's why I think that like Conversion Fanatics and what you guys are doing is brilliant smart. When I saw you step into that, I really realized how damn smart you are. Huh. Because that right there is the future of figuring out how our metrics are going. You guys are completely replacing the old methods of, you know, how do our customers, you know, after Nielsen ratings, by the way. I mean, you replace that. You're actually testing live data. You understand the numbers. So I can go to you and say, here, I need to know what's working, what's not working. And then I can decide on which medias I use. And I know that was pretty windy for a short question, but
no, that's perfect. That's exactly what I wanted. Cause I mean, I know you just came back from shooting an infomercial. So mm-hmm. I wanted to really kind of get your take on that. So I want to turn a little bit to Full Bucket. I know you have basically you have giving at the core. I know you do a lot of on location and things, but what went into really developing what is now Full Bucket?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question because yeah, Full Bucket's a passion business, and what transpired is that I was doing some consulting for different companies for a few years while I was working. I'd had a major failure that, you know, took the wind out of my sails and the cash out of my bank. And so I was doing consulting for various businesses. And at the same time, I had taken this formula that I'd built, and was trying to get these businesses to buy off on it. You know, if we follow this step-by-step-by-step formula, we can go from standing flat-footed with your product, and within a short amount of time, it'll be a world-class brand, it'll have great products, your customers will be happy, your employees will be happy, and it falls into place. And I'd never had one ever buy off on the entire plan. I had had some do step 1 through 2 and 4 through 5, but no one ever really bought off on the entire vision. And it was sort of it was very frustrating. So at the same time, I wanted to rely less on consulting. I didn't want to be a consultant ever. I wanted to own brands, and I wanted to get into the products business. I wanted to kind of step in there, and I'd help launch some of the biggest product launches ever. I mean, there was some, I launched, you know, the Sony mini disc and the Handycam, and I wanted to do that for myself. So I looked around at my assets, and I'd met a couple young veterinarians and that were in alignment with me, and we threw together as a partnership, and they bought off on the whole step by step. as well as there was at the same time that we did that, I'd went through my own personal arc of, I was struggling with making decisions. I was, I was feeling really lost, and I was trying to chase every single opportunity out there. And if a person is an optimist and feels that you have skills, there's opportunities everywhere, too many. And so I was having trouble like chasing all these shiny objects. And so I sat down one night, or actually one morning at coffee, and I wrote what I call my personal manifesto. And it's an eight bullet points that have driven my life since that day. And that was in 2010. And one of those bullet points was that whatever I do, I want my business to give back to the people it serves. Mm-hmm. And what it meant, I didn't mean, hey, I want to cut a 1% check at the end of the year as a donation. I wanted the efforts to fuel itself in the giving back aspect. And so when I met Rob and Keith, they were already on that pathway. They were already, these guys are brilliant smart, and they were already very philanthropic. And we just combined everything and developed Full Bucket just kind of after the Tom's Shoes model. And we do a one for one for every single dose we sell. If we sell a 150 serving pail of horse supplement, we develop 150 servings that's going to go to an animal in need in a third world country. And the beauty of it is that it's all how should I say it? It's all mixed into the business. So when a dollar comes in our door, we already know how much is allocated to that program. Mm-hmm. It goes right into our giving bucket, and we keep track of that. In fact, we use that a lot to gauge the success of our business, is, how many giving servings are we at? So, the logistics of it. So, we decided that step one, and step two was we had to come up with basically a business model for it. Like, how do you know who to give it to? How do you know how do you get it to those third world countries? How do you do this? How do you do that? That's as hard as starting a business. It's an undertaking. And so, but the challenge is worth it once you're finally there and you're standing on a mountainside and you're going at it. It's incredible. So, that was sort of the reason, and the fact that we are now, in our sixth year, the business grows at an unbelievably great, steady pace, and the giving program grows. We're actually looking at maybe, crossing my fingers, having an office in Guatemala City. We've already brought a lot of the veterinarians from Guatemala up here to do internships. They've now returned back down there and are working, and now they want to serve their own people. And so they're helping us in ways that we never even fathomed. It's starting to take on a life of its own.
Awesome.
And it's almost surreal sometimes when I actually go and look at the footage and I see the pictures, and you go down there and, we go down there between 2 and 4 times a year to do what we call our giving trip, mm-hmm. which is where we take veterinarians and we take some farriers, we take wormers, vaccines, and we go from village to village, and we'll work on 50 to 100 head of horses at each village. And the fact that we're creating sustainability as well is really important to us. So we're trying to teach these people how to take care of their animals so we don't have to continue to go to those villages, and it's working out. So
awesome. Yeah. It's something really fulfilling about being able to give.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's unfathomable for a lot of people. I think that, when you really truly come from a place of giving, the awesomeness can happen, and the marketing on that side pretty much takes care of itself.
Yeah, and that's the thing. What's really cool is that our direct to consumer growth year over year runs in the range between 80% and 120%, And we have, in 5 years, we have spent less than $30,000 in advertising, marketing, straight up media buys.
That's amazing.
And I mean, that can't be done for every company, but we've been able to leverage a lot of assets that we had. And the other thing is I actually tried to, you know, like last year, year and a half ago, we've got a lot of really good people in place at Full Bucket, and my responsibilities, you know, has come down to where it's just sort of oversight and management. It's not that, you know, staying up 16 hours a day to do all your details. We have people doing all those now. So I was out looking to promote and help other companies do, you know, integrate giving programs into their business. And I really got nothing back. I got a lot of people that weren't very interested in that. They wanted to grow their business, but they didn't really want to dedicate to giving back. And so I sort of gave up on that. I guess afterwards I looked at it like religion. You know, you can't go, if you go force someone into religion, you didn't really convert them. They need to come, they need to come to the well on their own. So.
Awesome. So in terms of marketing, what types of skills should people have when it comes to marketing and data to be effective?
Well, I see the marketing world is a lot like, for lack of a better analogy, a lot like medicine in a way, a lot like becoming a doctor. As technology is getting better and better, and as the media fragments, there has to be more and more specialists. There has to be people like you who dive down into a specific technical aspect of it and become brilliantly adept at it. And the reason I said doctors is because if I go to my general practitioner and I've got a pain or I'm sick, he's going to look me over and he's basically going to say, yeah, you're sick. I think you've got this. I need to send you over to, you know, an orthopedic surgeon. I go over to the orthopedic surgeon. He takes a look at my knee and he says, yeah, you actually have two torn tendons and some meniscus tears and they've really worn bad. I'm not able to handle this. There's a different orthopedic surgeon that specializes in that. So the medical industry has become more and more fragmented. And even though it's frustrating, you actually, by the time my knee gets operated on, that guy is really damn good at what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if my physician would have operated on my knee, it'd have been a disaster. I'd have been back in seeing someone in 3 years.
Yeah.
And so to me, with marketing, it's a lot like that, is that you know, there are some people that are going to be more well-rounded, you know, more older guys like me. I'm more of a general practitioner than I am a specialist. I could never go in and do conversion programs like you can. I couldn't go in and do media buys through Facebook, like a company who focuses on media buys through Facebook. So, however, I know enough on how to pick those experts and hang out with those experts. That's why I go to the internet marketing stuff, is that I want to be surrounded by those specialists. That way, when I come across either clients who, you know, they've got pains, their sales are down or their this is down, I'm able to take a look at it from a perspective and go, well, quite honestly, here's your problem. You know, your online system, your e-commerce system is outdated by a long ways. You guys are doing this, you guys are doing that. I know where the problems are. I can diagnose the pains and the injuries. And then I go out and we try to find specialists to help fix all those parts. So that's where I see the marketing paradigm going as far as like the people who serve it. I think people, like what I said about you being smart earlier, that's the smart thing, is find your niche, be really good at that, and go deep.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that makes total sense. I mean, complete sense there. But do you have any marketing wins that you care to share that are just absolutely jumped out at you in the last year?
Marketing wins. Well, I'm not really sure what that means, but
any like campaign or anything that just really stood out, like, oh my God, we hit a home run with this one.
Yeah, I mean, I continue to get surprised from time to time about things that, you know, we did an affiliate. We had an affiliate that we've had signed up for two, three years, and they hadn't really done much with us for a while, and they finally came back to us and they said, hey, we want to do, you know, we're doing this week long dog, you know, information week, and we want to promote your products. So we gave them some new information because a lot of our knowledge and our technology and everything is updated and all that. And then, so when they did their email blast, you know, it was just beautiful to have my phone ding and ding and ding and ding. Yeah. You know, all day, and then for the next two or three days. So I'd say that would be one aspect. And, you know, I'm thinking specifically of Full Bucket, because, you know, it's the most lifeblood business I have going. I also own a company called Smash Factory, and we help inventors take their products to market. But those are very much, you know, those are small little games that you win. They're not any big championships along the way until, you know, till two or three or four years down the road. So,
yeah. Yeah.
You know, each one of them, we just keep the ball moving down the field to see where we can get where the people are actually winning the games. And so, in that aspect, we're starting to develop more and more tools for garnering investment capital and things like that. And each week I learn more and make more connections. And so I'd say if I look back over the last quarter from where I was a quarter ago and the, you know, helping develop investment packages for these inventors, as well as, you know, get their products made, that's been a big win for me is that I'm so much farther along than I was.
Oh, awesome. So that's kind of a good segue there. Is any big lessons that you've learned in the last year?
Don't stop moving forward.
Okay.
Yeah, I think that, and one thing, you know, I've been writing it down over and over again is that I've always had a problem with focus. I get involved in too many things, and I finally stopped trying to fix things that were broken, and I'm going to start maximizing my strengths. And so step one was just determining what those were and then just go after them, just use them and use them. But you asked me, what was your question? It was like, what was the biggest lesson
that you learned?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that was my biggest lesson, was just to focus on strengths and worry less about my weaknesses. And that's the biggest lesson I've had over the last year. And it's created more momentum for me by far.
Awesome.
It's much better. And when I say momentum, I mean, if you think about that, if I stop doing what I'm really good at to turn around and fix my ability to read financial reports and learn more about that, I'm not really doing what I should be doing.
Yeah.
So.
Awesome. So you mentioned earlier sitting on a beach reading business books. So we always ask our guests, what's, you know, one, two, even three of your favorite books that you've read recently?
That's funny. So, you know, there's a couple of books I'm rereading. I'm working my way through The Beast of, you know, Tools of Titans right now, and of course it's really good. I've listened to his podcast, so it's a lot of just reminders of the cool tidbits of information that are in there. So I can't yet put that up on the wall as, hey, this is what I would read, even though it's really good. It's I have yet to kind of finish that one. I reread Think and Grow Rich again, which I hadn't read in years. And it's, you know, it's just a good foundation book. There's always these little little bits in there.
That's a great book, but it's such a hard read.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's, well, it was kind of written in old, you know, old English. You're almost like, thus thou have to, you know, therein. So no, this one's actually funny. It came out at a couple of meetings, not really meetings, but kind of masterminds that I'd been sitting in, and it just sort of fell out. But I'd read, have you ever read the Five Love Languages?
Yes, I have.
Okay, so I'm sure you thought, you know, this will help me in my marriage. And I did too. That's why I got the book. That's why I read it. And however, on retrospect, it is one of the best management books ever written.
Yeah, I would agree.
It's unreal. And you know, of course, I try to apply it with my wife. You know, I try to make sure that I speak in her language instead of mine. But I started, I sat down, I got out a piece of notebook paper and I started writing down, you know, all of the people who make my businesses work. And I wrote down what I thought their love language was. And then I started to test, like, if I, you know, if I give him some praise, how does that, because I think he's more of a praise guy than he is a, you know, the bonuses. And sure enough, I mean, it just like lit him on fire. And if I, you know, if I help this guy out, you know, give him some help, get in there and roll up my sleeves next to him and do some work for him so he can watch me, but also that it's, you know, I'm doing acts of service, so to speak. Oh my gosh. So as I started to apply those same principles, and I have to say that it's pretty cool. I think it's a great management book.
Awesome. So a couple more quick questions for you is, where do you think marketing's heading this year?
Can you be more specific? Cause that's like saying, where do you think our economy's heading?
I guess. So, I mean, do you see any like emerging trends or anything that any shifts that are happening that you think are going to come to fruition this year?
Well, I don't know if I have the answer to that question. I do know that I have seen things that were touted as going to be the next big thing, not really becoming the next big thing. Mm-hmm. I have seen, you know, in the marketing aspect, I actually end up having more success leaning back on some old tactics that surprise me. You know, I think that marketing is going to, the new for the internet marketing crowd is starting to wear off, like the shiny objects and the, oh my gosh, you just have to be Snapchat, 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 yeah. Snapchat. I think that they're starting to go, oh my gosh, Snapchat didn't really work for my client. And they're starting to get a little smarter, a little more wise, and realizing that, you know, it's a mix. You have to really look at the whole thing. Look at the customer first, solve their problem, and use the tool that's needed. That being said, I'm a big fan still to this day of email. I still have success in not only, you know, garnering new customers, but having my current customers just get happier and happier. And I just love it. I love that. And oh, and I guess I'll say this. And you know, obviously they've been saying it for a while, but video. I mean, I like to write, and so I was leaning on the written word and blog too much, and the text, and so I've decided that I'm going to shirk that, and I'm going to get more aggressive on video, and using short videos to do all kinds of things that I used to rely on the written word for, and test that, because I think that the statistics I've seen and that some of the numbers, the preliminary numbers, I'm very impressed with, and so I want to really get aggressive on becoming more adept at, like, hey, we want to send a thank you. We don't going to send out a thank you email. I shot, you know, 27 thank you for buying this particular product two-minute videos out in California when we were out there.
Hmm.
So those are just, that's kind of a new thing. I'm really wanting to learn how to use YouTube better and create channels. And so if anybody's listening that's a badass at YouTube channels, get a hold of me.
Awesome. So, and we're making a shift too to do more video, as you've probably seen, but, so
absolutely. I follow you like crazy. You may not know it, but yeah, I'm just going to do whatever you do. And I'll be at least partially successful.
I don't know about that, but so if you had one tip for people, when it comes to their marketing, what would you say to them?
One tip. Learn.
Okay.
You don't ever have it figured out. Just keep always know and understand, you know, and that requires you to know what it is you're doing. Like I said, you got to pick your niche.
Mm-hmm.
Like you with the conversion stuff, the only reason you're going to be of value is because you're constantly on the forefront learning what it is that works. So I say that to everybody. I'm like, don't think you have it figured out ever.
Yeah. Complacency will kill you.
You betcha.
Awesome. So I truly appreciate it. That's all the questions I have for you, man. But cool. How can people connect with you?
Well, you know, you can go to, I have my consulting company. If you go to brandingarchitect.com, there's an email link there. If you go to Smash Factory, if you're interested in inventions, or if you have products that you make or you sell, or you have clients that make and sell products, you can go to smashfactory.com and connect with me through there. And then, you know, like I said, we've got the fullbuckethealth.com website. My emails are on all three of those, and just depends on what you're interested in.
Awesome, man. Well, we'll include all that in the show notes, including links over to the books that you recommended. So that's all we got for this show today, folks. Justin Christensen, again, your host. If you would be so gracious, if you enjoyed this episode, as to like, share, go over to, you know, the old iTunes and subscribe, that would be greatly appreciated. And thanks again, Rob, for being on the show.
Absolutely, man. I feel, like I said, I feel honored, and I want to tell you what an awesome job I think you've been doing.
Awesome. I appreciate it. And we'll talk to you guys again on another show. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks so much for listening to the CMO Roundtable. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to rate us, subscribe, and give us a share. For more information about how you can accelerate your marketing results and to request your in-depth conversion analysis, visit conversionfanatics.com.